Book of Galatians, chapter 3. Galatians 3. This is what I want you to do. No matter what happens in your life, I want you to keep your eyes 100% on Jesus Christ. Let's keep your eyes on Jesus no matter what happens. No matter what. Big things, small things. The whole Our Savior's Lutheran thing. Keep your eyes on Jesus no matter what. Your own personal life. Going through hard times. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Your own spiritual experience. You feel like you're doing really, really good. Great. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You're not sure how you're doing. You feel defeated. You feel stuck. I want you to get your eyes on Christ. Focus on Him. This is the way it works. If you keep your focus on Christ, you're going to stay in the center of gospel truth and power for your life. That's the way it always works. And it's the only way it works. But if you take your focus off of Christ, that's when it all starts to unravel. There is, with the gospel, certain promises. There is peace. And there are many dimensions of it. There's peace with God, which means that before, we were enemies. We weren't at peace with God. But there's peace with God through the gospel. Well, there's also the peace of God. In Philippians, it talks about a peace that passes understanding. First comes peace with God, then comes the peace of God. There is joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory, the Bible calls it. A deep joy in Christ. It is a joy that the world cannot give and the world cannot take away, and it comes through the gospel of Christ. There is confidence. That means not just that you become a confident person, it means that you are confident in your relationship with God through Christ. You're confident that you are a son, a daughter of God through Christ, that you've been adopted into His family, that you're fully accepted by God. There is freedom in the gospel. Freedom. Where before we were bound up by so many things, the gospel promises freedom in our lives. Freedom from the power of sin. Freedom from the things that hold us and keep us down in life. There is love and power in the gospel of Christ. And you know, that list goes on. It's really remarkable when you look through the New Testament and you see the types of things that come with the power of the gospel in our lives. Now, this is why the entire point of the book of Galatians is to capture your attention and to put your focus back where it belongs, and that is on Jesus Christ. That's really the purpose of Galatians. It's to get your focus back on Jesus. It is a common experience in the Christian life that we begin by looking at Jesus. We put our focus on Christ. We're excited to hear about Jesus, to learn about Jesus. We're intrigued by Jesus, what He's done for us. The gospel is good news about what Jesus has done for us, and we start that way. But it is all too often the case that having started with a focus on Jesus, somewhere along the line we lose our focus and instead we become focused on ourselves. I call it a focus on our works and our woes. We become focused on ourselves, what we must do for the Lord. Our efforts, our goodness, our rules and regulations, or on our woes. We get focused on our troubles, our suffering, our circumstances, our disappointments with God. Our emotions begin to rule in our thinking. And our focus, whether it's because of our works, which could be the works that we do that are great, or because of our failure to do what we thought we were supposed to do, but still it's our focus is on our works. Excuse me. Or we focus on our woes. And either way, our focus has now gone to ourselves. And as soon as the focus is off of Jesus and onto ourselves, all the dynamic of gospel truth and power is robbed from our lives. That's what happened in the churches of Galatia. Take a look at chapter 3 in verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of law or by hearing with faith, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness? There was a problem with the Christians at Galatia. They had taken their focus off of Christ and put it onto themselves. Paul is very worried. In fact, he's upset. And he's trying to rattle them. You can tell it by his language. It's very intense in this book. He says in chapter 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has bewitched you? You guys are being dumb. Basically, he says, you guys are being really dumb about this. Now, it's not that they're unintelligent. I think they had a high IQ, but a low GQ. That doesn't mean style. That means gospel intelligence. Their gospel intelligence was low. He says, you're being dumb. You're being foolish. You're being robbed. You're being abused. It's no good. And he uses an interesting phrase. He says, who has bewitched you? And literally, it's a phrase that means somebody has like put a spell on you and given you the evil eye. It has to do with the eyes. It has to do with the gaze. Some translators say, who hypnotized you? Hypnosis. It's kind of a weird thing. I don't know if it's like with the or what it is, but it's like you go into a trance. You become hyper-focused on one thing and it distorts all of reality or like opens you up to some other thing. It's just weird. It's hypnosis. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has captured the full attention of your head and your heart in such a way that they've gotten your focus off of Christ and onto yourselves? That's what he says to them. I wonder if that's ever happened to you in your life. I wonder if you've ever found yourself one day and you go, oh my gosh, I'm completely focused on myself. Like I didn't even realize it. I've been led to this place where my focus is just on myself. You know, the sad thing about when you're self-focused is a lot of times you don't even know it. You don't even realize it. It's like you're in trance, you know? You're dissatisfied. You're agitated. There's no peace in your life. There's no confidence. Everything's a struggle. You don't get it. You don't know why all this is happening. You're trying to figure it out and sort it out and find solutions and work your way to a better place. Maybe you're grumbling about, you know, what the hand that you've been dealt in life and all of this. And you don't even realize it, but you're totally focused on yourself. And that's the heart of the problem. He says, who has bewitched you? Who has entranced you? Now, the next line is very important. He says, it was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. It was before your eyes. Now, you see, in chapter 3, verse 1, it's a beautiful, beautiful verse because of the language that's used about, you know, being in this trance and your gaze is like off on this other thing and you're basically looking at yourself in the mirror or something. It's just all about you. And he says, but you know, originally, when you started your Christian life, Paul says, I know for a fact what was before your eyes. Because Paul says, I put it there. And it was Christ and Him crucified. Christ crucified. That was the focus of your faith. Now, I want to tell you something, that when you focus on Christ, your focus needs to zero in on the two central truths of the message of the gospel. There are two central truths to the message of the gospel. Very important to know this. The message of the gospel. Remember, the message of the gospel, it's a summary of the most important truths of who Christ is and what He's done for us. That's the message of the gospel. There are the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that tells the whole story of the life of Christ. But the message of the gospel, as we read it in the New Testament, is this summary of the most important truths, and there are two central truths. Now, when you focus fully on Jesus, you need to focus your heart and mind on the two central truths of the message of the gospel, and they are the cross of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. Those are the two things. And in this passage, you see both dimensions. You see the cross of Christ. It's in verse 1. He says, Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified before your eyes. That's the first central truth of the message of the gospel. But then he begins talking about the Spirit of Christ. When you received the Spirit, did you do it through works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Receiving the Spirit is the Spirit of the living Jesus Christ. Christ who died is risen. He's the risen Lord. And He pours out the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is the power of His own life, into the lives of believers. So what Paul is doing in this chapter is he's refocusing their attention on the two central truths of the message of the gospel. And he's basically saying to focus on Christ is to focus on these two things. That's the way it goes. In fact, I want to show you something. You know, Galatians 2 and verse 20, we kind of sped over it last week. I felt bad. It ripped my heart out to speed. We ran out of time. I'm like, oh no, we ran out of time. We don't have time to really look at Galatians 2:20. We have to go back. So here we go. Galatians 2:20. It is a verse which should be a life verse for you. It is a verse that will instruct you how to actually focus on Christ. Because when you focus on Christ in faith, there has to be, you know, something in particular to focus on. It can't be just some vague, well, I'm focusing on Jesus. I saw a really cool picture of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane one time. I just focused on that. No. What are you supposed to focus on? Here it is. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, that verse is amazing because it is a one verse capsulizing of the two most central and important truths of the message of the gospel. In that verse, you get Christ crucified. And actually, he says, I've been crucified with Him. He's talking about the death of Christ. The one who loved me, past tense, loved me and gave Himself for me. That's the cross of Christ. But he also says in this verse, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Now, how can He do that? It's because He's risen. He's Lord. He's alive. And Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, pours out His presence, His power, His gifts through the Holy Spirit into the life of the believer. So Galatians 2:20 gives me the two most important truths of the message of the gospel, and Paul basically says them as a personal affirmation. So let me give you a practical application before I even unpack all this. Galatians 2:20 is a really, really powerful verse for you in focusing on Christ. You should memorize Galatians 2:20. I memorized it in the King James because at the church that I went to, we sang all these songs. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, and gave himself for me. I call it marching music. I am crucified with Christ. That was what we did. Every week we sang that song. Every week it was like they were trying to beat it into our heads. Just like Luther. And it did get beat into my head. I can't stop singing that song. Every time I read Galatians 2:20 in a modern translation, I go, that's not right. I am crucified. I start singing the song. I can't help it. It's beautiful. But that's what faith does. Faith takes gospel truth and makes it personal. And it brings it into our heart. In our mind. So I want to recommend to you a great song. We should learn it. Eric, let's learn that song. It's a good one. And I want you to memorize any translation you like. You just memorize that verse. And I want you to tell yourself the truth of that verse. I want you to say it. I want you, when you go to bed at night, to say that. If you're going through hard times, I want you to say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I want you to say that. It's your affirmation of faith. It's a statement of gospel truth. And it puts your focus on the cross of Christ and the present life of Christ that he shares with you. When you get up in the morning, I want you to say that verse. I want you to orient your life to the truth of the gospel. We need to keep a focus. Now, in that verse, Galatians 2:20, he says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Now, remember, we said that Galatians is sort of like a catalog of key themes of the gospel message. And one of them is faith. Faith in Christ. We all know that. You've got to believe in Jesus. You have to have faith in Jesus. To have faith means not just to believe something intellectually, but to actually trust something, trust a person. Put your trust in Christ. Okay, great, that's fine. But what about that? Like, is there anything in particular that I need to trust him for? Is there any particular thing that I should put my faith in when it comes to Jesus? And the answer is yes. There's something very particular about it. There's actually two things. You put your faith in the cross, what Christ has done for you in the past on the cross. He did this for you. That's the message of the cross. And you put your faith in what Christ will now do in your life through his Spirit as you open your heart to the Spirit of Christ. You trust those two things. That encompasses the full scope of the Christian life. Do you understand that if those two things became your reality, what Christ has done for me in history on the cross, it is finished, it is accomplished, and I know it, and I trust it, and I believe it. And then part two, who Christ is right now as the risen Lord, and the fact that he will pour out his Spirit in my life, his power, his presence in my life. Right now, every day, every minute of the day. Do you understand that that covers it all? That's the power of the gospel. You focus on Christ and his death and resurrection. I mean, really focus, really believe, really understand, really trust. Fight for it. Work for it in your life. You do that. And you'll find that faith just welling up in you. See, faith is a function of our focus. And our faith is only as strong as that which we focus on. That's why the proclamation of God's word is so important. The more that we hear the word of God, God's word is going out to us through the scriptures, through preaching. God's word is going out. And as we hear the proclamation of the gospel, faith, it just grows in us. It just springs up in us as long as it puts our focus where it needs to be, and that is in Jesus. Galatians 2:20. It's awesome. Now, when the Apostle Paul came to the Galatians, the first thing that he did was to put their focus on Christ and Christ crucified. He put Christ crucified before their eyes. Chapter 3, verse 1. Who is it that entranced you, that hypnotized you, that bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. That's the preaching ministry of the Apostle Paul. He came in and he just graphically portrayed it. He told the story of Christ on the cross, and he told them not only what happened, but what it means for them. Christ was graphically portrayed as having been crucified. It's a perfect tense in the Greek, and it's just one of those technicalities that tells us in the perfect tense, it's a past action whose results impact the present. He's not giving them just a history lesson. He's saying God did this, and the impact of it lives on to right now, to today. He told them what happened on the cross, and he told them what it meant for their lives. And you know what? God had revealed that to him. We covered all that in chapters 1 and 2. Powerful stuff. That's the proclamation that they received. This was Paul's way. Paul said to the Corinthians, when I came to you, I wanted to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. He said that he preached Christ crucified, not in the wisdom of men, lest the cross of Christ should be emptied of all of its power. 1 Corinthians 1:18, he said, because the message of the cross is the power of God to those who are being saved. It's foolishness to those who perish, but it's the power of God to those who are being saved. If you understand and focus in your heart on the message of the cross, here is what you can say in your heart. You can say this in your heart because of the cross. I know for a fact that I am justified before God through Christ. I've been justified. I've been declared not guilty. I've been declared righteous through Christ. Justified. Someone put it like this. Justified means just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. And yet I know that I've sinned, but it's just as if I never did. Why? Because of Jesus and what he's done. That was our message last Sunday from Galatians 2:16. If you focus on the message of the cross of Christ in faith, you can say for a fact, I know that I am perfectly loved by God. I'm perfectly loved, completely loved by God. There's nothing that I can do to be more loved by God. That's an amazing thought right there. I can't do anything to be loved more, and there's nothing I can do to be loved less by God. All of this because of the cross. Galatians 2:20. The life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, past tense, and gave himself for me, the cross. He loved me. It's a done deal. His love is poured out through Christ and proven, demonstrated at the cross of Calvary. Here's what you can say if you focus on the cross of Christ. You can say, I know that I am set free from all evil power. Nothing can triumph over me in life, in this world. Nothing. Nothing can control me in this life as long as I'm under the control of Jesus. We learned that in Galatians 1, in verses 3 and 4. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. He's delivered us from the present evil age, from the powers of darkness in this world, from the evils. There's people who are terrorized. There's people who are bound by all kinds of things. They're haunted. They're fearful. They're controlled by things. But when you focus on the cross of Christ, you say, well, wait a minute. All of that power has been broken through Jesus and his victory over hell, over sin, over evil power. That's the truth of the gospel. Focus on that. Here's something else you can tell yourself if you focus on the truth of the cross. You can say that I know that God is for me and he is with me always. For me and with me always. That's grace. That's grace. It's beautiful. Romans 5, 1 and 2. You can go read it later. We're going to run out of time. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access into this grace in which we stand. Like you stand in it, you live in it, you breathe in it. I've been justified just as if I never sinned through faith in Christ. I have peace with God. I used to be his enemy, but now I have peace. But not only that, I actually stand in a place of his favor every day. I mean, I just live in his favor every day. Oh, well, no, that's only as long as you totally keep your act together. Well, actually, no. It's the miracle of the gospel. It's through the cross. It's through him who loved me. It's amazing. Now, that's powerful stuff. But what happens if you take your eyes off of Christ crucified and put them on yourself instead? That's what the Galatians did. Who has bewitched you? So that rather by living through faith in Christ, which means the cross and his risen life available to you freely, you've got your eyes now on your works and your woes. Oh, well, it's only if I, you know, do this, that, and the other right. Well, then God's blessing. And if things are messed up in my life, it's because I didn't do things right or God's abandoned me. You know, I mean, there's only two people that can mess up. It's either me or God. Right? It's either me or God. So there's two kinds of people. There's certain people who always think it's them, it's me. And there's some people who always think it's God. You know. Like, oh, I messed up. Oh, I messed up. I must have messed up. Things aren't going well. God is not smiling on me anymore. And there's other people who always blame God. God, you messed up. God, you disappointed me. God, you messed up. You know, this is always one of those two things. I'm a kind of person, I never blame God. I don't know why. I just never do. I figure if something's messed up, it's probably me. There's a good chance it's me. No, there's 100% chance. I just don't blame God. I don't blame God. A lot of you people do. I know you. You're out there too. But I don't blame God. I'm going to tell you about an experience in my life. One of the most powerful experiences I've ever had. Going through a hard time in my life. Emotions were trashed. Strain in relationships. Didn't know what was wrong. Spent about 3 days by myself just praying. Kept asking the question, God, what's wrong with me? Like, what am I doing wrong? Where did I mess up? Because I just don't feel right, and so I must have done something wrong. What is it? Is it my marriage? Am I a bad husband? Is it, you know, me being a daddy? Am I a bad father? Is it the pastor thing? I mean, am I a lousy pastor? Like, what is it? What, is there some secret sin in my life? What have I done? And I went on a witch hunt on my life for 3 days. Nothing. This got worse and worse. So I decided to read the Bible. I started reading through the book of Romans. I just felt led to read Romans. I started to read Romans. I felt worse. I felt worse because Romans is talking about how the wrath of God is revealed against all unrighteousness and ungodliness. And I'm like, oh, no, this is terrible. I'm just messed up. In the first 3 chapters of Romans, it's like you're a sinner, you're evil, you're stuck. There's no good that you can do. And I'm like, I know. Why are you telling me this? I'm so messed up. And then I came to an epiphany. It actually, if there's ever been an epiphany in my life, this was it. I was just reading through Romans very slowly, prayerfully, and remorsefully because I felt bad about myself. And I came to Romans 3:19. It says, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law. So that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of law, no human being will be justified in his sight. Since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. And I got to the end of that verse, in verse 21, and I heard, it was like an audible voice. And the Lord spoke to me and said, do you know what the problem is, guy? It's not that you're a bad husband or a bad father or a bad pastor or that you have secret sin in your life. This is literally what I heard. God said, the problem is you. Completely. Everything about you. I went, thanks for sharing. I was just crushed. The problem is you. It's just you. I was defeated. I didn't know what to do. So I kept reading. And then in verse 21, it said, but now the righteousness of God has been manifest apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. And I went on to read about the sacrifice of Christ on the cross in the next verses. And the Lord spoke to me in an audible voice. I'm not kidding you. It's only happened about three times in my life. And the Lord said, you are the problem, but you are not the solution. Jesus is the solution. And it was like an epiphany. I mean, it was like the heavens opened up. And I sat there and I went, I can't believe it. I've been in a trance. I've been hypnotized. I've been bewitched. Somehow I got my eyes off of Jesus and onto myself, and I was utterly defeated. And thankfully, by his mercy, the Lord allowed me once again to see the heart of the gospel. And I was set free. Amazing. And I felt the Holy Spirit just working in my life in a beautiful way. Not because I had done anything. I hadn't changed anything. All I had done was heard and believed, the hearing of faith. And I said, oh, thank you, Lord, for the free grace of God through Christ and what he's done on the cross. And now, the risen Lord, I just open my heart. I just expect, I just believe. If all of that is true and you accept me, then, Lord, won't you flood my heart with your Holy Spirit right now? And yes, that's exactly what happened in my life. Did you receive the Spirit, he said, by works of law or by hearing with faith? It's amazing. Now, the mature Christian is the one who understands that the way that we come to Christ and the way that we continue in Christ are both the same. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, he said, having begun in the Spirit, will you now be made perfect in the flesh? Down in verse 3, I think it is in Galatians 3. You started through faith in looking at Christ crucified and believing in the risen Lord and receiving the Spirit just freely as a gift. But now, are you going to continue in some different way than that? Through your own effort? Or are you going to get so bummed out because things aren't going your way that you're going to just chuck the whole thing? Have you suffered so many things in vain? It is in vain, he says. So be careful. Keep your focus on Jesus, no matter what. We're running out of time, so we're going to have to continue with Galatians next week. But I want to tell you something, that this is powerful stuff for your life. You, as a Christian, should know peace with God, the peace of God, joy unspeakable, full of glory in your life, confidence in your relationship with God, love for God and others, power, see God working in and through your life, freedom. You should know these things. And the way is being shown to us in Galatians, and also the pitfalls. So everybody, you need to go and examine, where is my focus? And then let's learn, and this is what Galatians will teach us, we're going to learn to hone our focus on Jesus, crucified and risen, and to live in faith in those truths. That's what it's about. Let's say a prayer right now. Lord, we're so amazed at the truth of the gospel. It's beautiful. Best of all, it has our name on it. Lord, you loved us. Lord, you loved me and gave yourself for me. Now, Lord, having given yourself, you live in me. What an amazing truth. Suppose we could take the rest of our lives to explore its depths, to apply its truths. May we do that, Lord. I pray right now for everyone in the sanctuary. I pray for those who have lost their focus, and now they're focused on their own efforts, on their own works, and so they're robbed. Oh, Lord, help them now to return their focus to Christ fully. I pray for those who are focusing on their woes, their disappointments, their own emotions and feelings. I pray that you'll break the spell, Lord, because they're going back into bondage in their life. Instead, Lord, may they focus fully on you once again, to trust in your love and to depend on your life within them to see them through the tough times. Fully, Lord, let the power of the gospel flood into their lives. I thank you for it, Lord. We love you. Continue to teach us through your word, we ask. In Christ's name, amen.